This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Euros with Luke and Mitch. Dun, 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 dun. It's time to get your daily fix. Dun, 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 dun. So go on, gab yourself a coffee, dun dun dun. Or maybe you prefer a cup of tea. Euros with Luke and Mitch, dun 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 dun. And don't you know they don't cost a thing, dun dun dun. So go on, give us a stream. It's the Daily Euro 21. Hello everyone, it is Tuesday the 6th of July. I am Mitchell Gadd. This is your daily Euro 2020 update. And we are deep. Getting towards that ninth inning, aren't we? Semi-finals, here we are. First of them today. Heavyweight clash, Italy and Spain. And I'm going to be giving a little preview of that one as we get set for the tournament to finish up in London. Sans travel from abroad for fans of both teams, so it'll be filled by lots of corporate people in Wembley, and Italy and Spanish, Italian and Spanish, who are, you know, living in the UK, which is a bit of a shame, really. And look, I've loved this tournament from start to finish, well, to where we're up to at the moment in terms of stuff on the pitch. It's been great. But the one thing that's really been, I think, you know, it was a shambles, not just now, but from even before things kicked off. Anyone with, you know, any amount of brain power could have told you that holding a tournament across so many different countries in the middle of a global pandemic, not a good idea. And, you know, it's meant, yeah, there's been some great partisan crowds enjoying the action. But what it's led to now is you get this situation at Wembley where it's not going to be, you know, people residing in Italy and Spain getting to go and see the game. So it's a shame, and I think it should have been held in one country. I thought that before the global pandemic. I think I still absolutely think it should have reverted to one country after COVID hit. But here we are, and you know, it's no surprise that the teams that had home advantage with a lot of their fixtures are those that are in the semi-final, haven't had to travel as much. But anyway, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent of, you know, having a go at the format. But let's face it, it's something that's been picked up in terms of the teams that are there in the semi-final. And it's a real shame then that, that a lot of those fans that have followed their teams and not follow their team aren't going to be able to follow them to the semi-final. But it is what it is. That would happen in any circumstance if we were in one country and there were restrictions on travel. We are where we are. It should be a great game. We've got, yeah, two heavyweights, as I said, Italy, who've looked good from the start, who've looked like the team laid down a marker from that first game against Turkey, from that wonderful opening ceremony that we saw in Rome back a few weeks ago, whatever it was, sort of coming up to 4 weeks ago now, from the off have looked great. And you know, not just the solid defence that we've come to know from Italy, but the much more potent and exciting attack that we've seen under Mancini, not just in this tournament, but going into the tournament as well, where they were sweeping teams aside in the lead up in the friendlies beforehand. So they go into it obviously with a lot of confidence. Spain, who, I mean, we've talked on this podcast about tournament football, growing into tournaments. You know, it's not always about hitting the ground running from the start. Doesn't always happen. Doesn't work like that. Portugal, as we said, is a great example of that in 2016, where they drew three group games, were lucky to get through the group, only got through because of a new format where the best third place teams qualified. And eventually they grew into the tournament and they won the thing. Spain could be that team. They, you know, started, they played nicely against Sweden, but lacked that cutting edge and that, you know, they're not blessed with what you would say kind of potent goal scorers throughout their team, are they? They play some lovely football, but they don't really have that. Morata's got better as the tournament's gone on, and he's going in now, I think, with a lot more confidence than he was coming into the tournament, which is good to see, because I think he is a confidence player. He's no doubting he has got quality. He's copped a rough time from it, from the media in Spain. And it's good to see that he's grown into the tournament as well, as have Spain. So that's good. But yeah, Spain took that little bit to get going. Draws against Sweden and then against Poland. You know, they had to, I think there was that four goals against Slovakia, and that set them into the obviously into the knockout phases. And they haven't been, again, they haven't been, they weren't overly convincing in the last game against Switzerland. I think it was, we saw that free-flowing football they could play against against Croatia. And I think the goals have started to come there, so that's good. But they also showed that they are vulnerable as well. We've seen that vulnerability in the knockout stage. So it'd be interesting to see how they play it, really, because I think Italy are going to respect Spain. They're going to, you know, they're going to show them respect. I think they're going to, they're not going to, you know, the Italians don't go gung-ho. They are efficient, even with this sort of, you know, much more, I guess, you know, attacking-minded side that they've got at the moment. I think they'll show Spain respect, but it'll be interesting to see how Spain approached the game. I did talk about the potential impact that Spinazzola being away and what that might do to Italy's attack as well. Not just because of the attack and the threat that Spinazzola has given Italy, but also what he's given Insigne on that left-hand side, cutting in onto his right foot because of that overlap that he can create. So it'll be really interesting to see if that comes to fruition, if Insigne still gets the same kind of space that Belgium afforded him and that other sides have afforded him in this tournament. I'm not so sure if he will, but like I said, Spain have looked vulnerable, so they're not hugely rock solid, are they, at the back, Spain? I think you can get at them, so the Italians will fancy it, but yeah, I mean, I said I'm going to avoid making predictions after the way some of them have gone in this tournament, but it's definitely a mouth-watering clash. Wouldn't be surprised, I would say, if it goes into extra time like a lot of these games have done. But yeah, I'd like to see a few goals. I'm not so sure. I think it could be a quite a cagey affair between two sides that are going to show a lot of respect for one another. And yeah, a great prize at the end of it in the final at Wembley. And much to look forward to. So that's it for today's update. And Lukey will be here tomorrow. He'll talk about reaction from this game. And then obviously England against Denmark will complete the picture. That's it from me. Ciao for now.
Hi, this is the Blender Coach. And you're listening to a Touchline Rant's latest podcast, Back of the Net.
Touchline rant. This is a touchline rant. A touchline rant. Oh. Touchline Rant.
The podcast you just heard was me using anger.